Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia Pacific shares are starting August off on a positive note. In Tokyo, the Nikkei is up 1.3%. Sydney is trading 1% higher as well. And Seoul is in the green. While a tumble in the U.S. on Friday night might give investors pause, it appears they're focused on the bigger picture, which includes six straight months of gains for the S&P 500. Joining me to break down all the market action is Ryan Huang. Good morning, Ryan.
Morning, Michelle.
Let's start this morning with fairly big news locally. Two pieces. We don't have very much details on either of them, but they are coming through. Keppel Corp, Keppel REIT, SPH and SPH REIT have all submitted requests to the Singapore Exchange to halt trading in their shares today. The filings were made within minutes of each other around 7:37 a.m. before this market's open this morning. Trading halts often occur when a company is about to make a major announcement that could affect its share price, and we see that starting to pan out here. Ryan, do we have any sense yet of what these companies are up to?
Yes, we do. Just fresh out of the oven a minute ago, I am just diving into the press release from Keppel, and they have proposed a $2.2 billion strategic acquisition of SPH Holdings X Media. So pretty much everything besides media, which means property, and this all part of its Vision 2030 growth plan. So let me break it down for you. You have, in essence, Keppel entering the PBSA sector, which is the purpose-built student accommodation sector. You have them expanding their presence in senior living. They are also going to be stepping up in terms of the participation in the retail recovery via SPH REIT and its manager. It's also going to be consolidating the ownership of M1 and the Genting Lane data center assets. So that is the gist of what this $2.2 billion strategic acquisition of SPHX Media will entail.
Yeah, the scheme is subject to approval, though, by SPH and Keppel shareholders. There are other conditions and regulatory approvals to surmount as well. If we look at shares of Keppel, up 3.5%. Over the past week, Keppel REIT was also in the green last week, though not as much. And over the past 3 months, Keppel REIT shares down more than 3%. So if we look at what this means, the news coming out for Singapore Press Holdings and SPH REIT, what do we get a sense of?
Yeah, I'm diving a bit deeper into the press release from Keppel, and they are painting a picture where it is a scenario of synergy, highly synergistic businesses between Keppel and SPH and SPH REIT by extension. And also, this will be new growth engines for Keppel, and it will complement Keppel Land's plans to move beyond a developer model to provide urban development solutions. And it will also help Keppel drive growth in AUM and recurring income. Of course, this in the backdrop of how SPH has made plans to hive off its media arm into a CLG or company limited guarantee structure. So that is, I think, seeing the wheels turning on this entire process.
Absolutely. So if approved, SPH, which publishes the Business Times, will be delisted. It will become a wholly owned subsidiary of Keppel, and Keppel will hold stakes of about 20% in both SPH REIT and Keppel REIT. We'll have more details for you throughout our bulletin this morning as well. Shares of SPH are up 8% over the past month. They've soared 66% since the beginning of the year. Shares of SPH REIT have been treading water recently, but they are up 8% since January. All right, anything else you want to add on this? It's you got the press release right in front of you.
Diving into it. Trying to catch up with the news, but I'm sure we will break it down for you in the next finance update.
Yeah, and to figure out how this will maximize value for shareholders and minimize disruption as well. Moving on, as we take a look at the week ahead, investors are going to have a close eye on Singapore banks. All three banks report earnings this week. OCBC and UOB, they go first on Wednesday. DBS will open its books on Thursday. This week's announcements are all the more interesting thanks to a recent move by the Monetary Authority of Singapore that could boost bank dividends. So Ryan, remind us what we're looking at.
Yeah, the focus will be on dividends, how much banks will be paying out, because the MAS in the past week has lifted the cap on dividend payouts. And this is pretty much how the rest of the world is also doing the same thing, just giving banks more slack right now because, in a sense, the worst is over. They don't have to put aside as much money as before to buffer for bad times because the banks are in a good place right now, and also in terms of how the recovery picture is picking up. So banks in Singapore, in the US, and many other places are now able to reallocate those provisions to do other things, including dividends or share buybacks. And in focus will be the three banks this week. On top of the earnings, what commentary they'll be giving in terms of how much they will pay. And according to market expectations, they are expected to resume the pre-COVID-19 levels. And that is around 50% of the payout of the dividend payout. So you are also perhaps looking for some indication of where the recovery picture is heading in terms of loans growth. And this will give an idea of where the Singapore economy is heading, or at least what the bank is forecasting. And also diving into how the low interest rate environment is affecting banks. Because in the last quarter, we saw that putting pressure on banks, and that in the latest US earnings as well, saw them having some trouble getting profits from the low interest rate environment. But that, of course, has been offset in recent quarters by loans growth in some sectors, as well as the trading income. So that is the focus for this week's bank earnings.
Shares of all three banks traded higher last week. OCBC, the best performer of the group, chalking up a weekly gain of 1.5%. All right, let's turn to global markets now, where there are two major factors on investors' radars: earnings and job numbers. Let's talk about those US job numbers first, as some analysts are predicting they could be more consequential than most. A CNBC headline puts it this way: July jobs report could be what gives the market its next big jolt. Why is that, Ryan?
Yeah, so this, of course, in the backdrop of how the US labor picture has been improving, but it has seen some speed bumps. And that is now putting the focus on the next indicator, which is the monthly jobs report for July. That comes out on Friday. And the market consensus forecast is for a reading of around 788,000. So that's going to be down from June of 850,000. So the market's expecting a slight dip. And looking at the unemployment rate, we are also seeing a bit of a dip to 5.7% from 5.9%. So it's a bit of a, I guess, steady as she goes type of picture right now. And the market will be focused on how it will perform in terms of beating expectations or not. So in this case, it will be bad news is good news for the market. And conversely, good news will be bad news for the market. Because if it does beat expectations, if the jobs picture is better than expected, it means the Fed could maybe start to tighten policy sooner than expected. So that's not good news for markets, and vice versa.
All right, we'll be keeping a close eye on that. And the markets lead up to the release of those Friday numbers. But in the meantime, we do have more corporate earnings to look forward to. More than a quarter of the S&P 500 companies open their books in the coming week. And last week, the focus was on tech companies. Their results generally very good, but investors still sold off on the news. So Ryan, what should we be looking out for this week?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things for you to cast your eye on. So right at the top of the list, at least for today, is HSBC. They are going to be releasing their interim numbers at 12 p.m. So it's a bit of a proxy for where the world economy is heading in terms of the recovery picture, and of course, dividends as well. And tomorrow, this will be interesting. We've heard about how China is clamping down on the private education space, and we will be getting earnings from one of them. This is New Oriental Education Technology Group, one of the biggest players in China. So they'll be reporting their numbers. And of course, the commentary around what the latest clampdown will mean for them will be in focus. And following them will be TAL Education Group on Thursday. And tomorrow, a big one to watch out for is Alibaba. That is going to be a picture of where the e-commerce industries is heading. And we heard from Amazon last week, painting a picture of slower growth. So maybe this could be something we could see as well in Alibaba. And of course, the wider backdrop of the China clampdown could see some impact on its business as well. So that will be in focus. And on Wednesday, we'll be getting car results from Toyota and Honda. So the story here is how the chip shortages might be affecting them, as well as COVID-19, because many of the car makers, at least Toyota, has factories in Southeast Asia, especially in Thailand. So that will be in focus. And on Thursday, Nintendo, that is a beneficiary of the stay-at-home, work-from-home, play-at-home type of factor. And the company, though, is expecting slower growth because people are just not staying at home as much now. So that is going to be the story for Thursday with Nintendo results.
All right. And among the U.S. companies that have reported so far, more than 80% have exceeded both sales and profit estimates. China stocks are going to be closely watched this week, but those companies listed here in Asia, as well as those in the United States, all going to be coming under the spotlight as well. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has halted new initial public offerings of Chinese companies in the U.S. following a sell-off in Chinese shares last week that erased nearly $1 trillion U.S. dollars in market cap. So, Ryan, this appears to be a reaction to Beijing's crackdown on the private sector in several industries. Tell us more.
Yeah, there's just no letting up for Chinese stocks right now. So the SEC halting Chinese IPOs. This is because they are calling for more disclosures around Chinese companies because they feel U.S. investors especially need more information to make informed investment decisions. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot of details in terms of what exactly they want in terms of additional disclosures. But the SEC chair, Gary Gensler, has said that there is some concern around the VIE structure, which is the variable interest entity structure that a lot of these Chinese companies use for US listings. Essentially, it's setting up an offshore company and parking their profits there for overseas investors to invest in that some of a shell company. So you don't really get ownership or actual shareholding of the Chinese company because that's not allowed in China. So he says not a lot of investors actually realize that, and they want more warnings and more disclosure around that on top of other things before they are happy with how the U.S. Chinese IPO registration process is going to take place.
So what has been China's reaction to the SEC's move?
Okay, so this is interesting because the Chinese regulators themselves have been putting pressure on Chinese companies. So they may be on the same page in terms of getting more disclosures from Chinese companies. And now they are saying, at least on the latest statement on Sunday, they are saying they want to cooperate more with the US regulators. They want closer cooperation and collaboration. So more talks with the SEC. So that is what we have from the Chinese regulators, a bit of a collaborative approach for now in what they call something they want in terms of more mutual respect and collaboration.
Interesting also to see what the fallout of this is going to be on Wall Street banks, because they underwrite a lot of these deals for Chinese companies listing over in New York. So it's a lucrative revenue source for them. All right. While most investors were dumping Chinese stocks last week, not everyone followed suit. Amidst the rout, nearly $1 billion US dollars in funds flowed into Chinese ETFs. Now, some analysts say it's a sign that no matter what, the Chinese markets just can't be ignored. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because China is just that big, the second largest economy in the world. If you want to take part in the recovery picture, it's very hard to avoid putting your money in China. And that's why you are seeing, like he pointed out, a lot of money going back into China. So you are talking about $975 million just flowing back into Chinese ETFs last week. It's pretty much more than all other developing nations last week. So you are seeing people just looking at the fundamentals of China in the long term, thinking, hey, if it goes down, it's a good time to buy. So I think that is what's happening here right now with the pressure on Chinese stocks. And just point out, they were down more than 4% for the Shanghai Composite and the Hang Seng Index down more than 5%. So a correction is an opportunity for some people.
Mm-hmm. Time for corporate news and a quick game of up or down. Are you ready, Ryan?
Okay, let's go.
Let's start with Square, the digital payments company.
All right, it is a story of a big merger. So it's going to be an up for me. Square, which is run by Jack Dorsey, is buying this buy now, pay later giant in Australia in an all-stock deal worth $29 billion. So
for
Square
Afterpay,
is becoming a bigger Square.
Oh, gosh. All right. It is expanding Square. It's going to pay $29 billion US dollars to buy Afterpay. And this is Square's biggest ever acquisition. Next up, it's a tough one, Ryan. Evergrande.
Well, I will go with up because it is making some headway in resolving some of its cash flow problems by selling its stakes in its internet unit. And this is to the sum of around $418 million. So it's selling it to Hang Ten Networks Group, a stake of 7%, and a stake of 4% to an unidentified buyer. So raising money to, well, ease its cash flow issues.
So the company is debt-laden, Evergrande. Its shares are in the gutter, down 75% over the past year. But it is raising more than $400 million US dollars by selling off its stakes in its internet unit. So that's a plus. So I'm going to go with up as well. And finally, how about Zoom?
Well, I would go with down. Zoom not having a great day because it has to pay up $85 million. So this is part of a settlement around a lawsuit claiming it violated user privacy rights by sharing personal data with Facebook, Google, and LinkedIn, and letting hackers disrupt Zoom meetings by a practice called Zoom bombing. So it's paying up big time now.
Yeah, quite a mixed bag for Zoom, which has been accused of failing to protect user privacy. But it also has reached an $85 million US dollar deal to settle the issue. It's a lot for Zoom. So I'm going to go with up.
I'm sure they can afford it.
Yeah, I think so. Let's turn to Singapore now. We are 23 minutes into the local trading day, kicking off a new month. In July, the Straits Times Index gained a little more than 1%. So how's the STI kicking off in August?
Yeah, so July was a good month for STI, up 1.2%. In terms of where we are right now, we are starting the week in the red. So it's actually bucking the trend across the region. It is now down by 0.3%, 3,157. And a quick snapshot of the STI, mostly in the red, only 5 counters in the green. Right at the bottom is Dairy Farm, and that is now down by over 3% at 364. And it's worth noting, Dairy Farm was the top loser in July, down around 11%. And this is followed by Keppel DC REIT, down 2.27%. SETS and SIA down nearly 1%. And Sembcorp Industries down around 1% as well. Mm-hmm. And Sembcorp Industries, that is going to be releasing their earnings sometime this week. I believe it will be Friday. And it's also in the news this morning. It has issued a profit warning, impairment of $212 million for its first half. And this is the bad part. The good part is it expects net profit will remain positive. So that is now putting some pressure on Sembcorp Industries' stock price. And of course, the big news is Keppel making an acquisition for SPH Media or ex-media.
Non-media business
mm-hmm. for $2.2 billion. So that will be closely tracked when they do resume trading later today.
Absolutely. So if the deal is approved, SPH will be delisted. It'll become a wholly owned subsidiary of Keppel, and Keppel will hold stakes of about 20% in both Keppel REIT and SPH REIT. He's Ryan Wong. I'm Michelle Martin. Big news today. Keppel Corp making that $3.4 billion offer for our SPH's non-media business, shall we say. I'll have more details for you throughout the day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.